Welcome to OOBG Radio, the leading destination for the best sports and betting analysis, presented by your hosts, John, Jordan, Dave, and Brian.
Welcome once again to OOBG Podcast, where we bring you all kinds of news in the world of sports. This week we'll be talking a little bit about the college football things, also NFL, MLB, and we'll start with the NBA. I know it's a ways off before things get going, but the proposed shot clock rule is being talked about quite a bit this week. Will that affect things? Are people going to start pounding the overs? Is it going to be better to watch? Your guys' view on the proposed shot clock rule, where they're going to be... Well, I guess somebody could explain it.
The D-League and the WNBA have already been doing this, right? What it is on offensive rebounds, rather than resetting the shot clock to the full time, you only get 14 seconds, which means faster game, more shooting, overs should go up.
Right.
Do you guys like this for the NBA?
I like it. As a fan, I feel like it's going to make things more exciting, less time for them to shoot. I don't know. I like it. I've caught a few WNBA games, and
really,
I have.
So, yeah. All right, I haven't seen one this season. I'll say that
I haven't seen one ever.
I thought they canceled that.
Yeah. No, I think it'll bring a new element to the game. Actually, it'll create a sense of urgency rather than you just see them passing the ball around trying to kill the shot clock again, essentially killing time off the clock. I mean, it's almost 30 seconds at this point, 24 right now.
I like that side of it. What I don't like is nobody wants to see a shot clock violation. It's one of the worst penalties in sports. It's like a delay of game. Like, that was a pointless penalty, and now we have a turnover. And so if we see more shot clock violations, is it really worth it?
It all depends on how they're going to play, though. It all depends on how the player's going to take it. But the way I look at it as a fan, I look at it like the player, like what Brian said. I mean, it's the player having shorter time to actually make those shots. He has to be more concentrated. He has to literally be more accurate in lesser time. So we're putting him under the clock there, no pun intended there. But I don't know. As a fan, looking at him at the. At the game, when I'm there, I want to see that. I'm definitely going to root for that.
Sounds good. No, and also we can say, same as with the WNBA, that if this does pass, like Dave said, pound the overs as soon as it passes.
Yeah, it's going to take a little bit of time for the boogeymakers to adjust to this rule, for sure.
Yeah, I think they will. So
yeah, I think preseason can start.
The what?
The bookmakers?
The bookmakers, sorry.
Bookmakers. All right, good stuff.
All right, now, since we're on that and you know, we're basically pounded that to death, we will go into Manu Ginobili. How about him?
Hall of Fame or not? What do you think, guys?
I think so.
Eh.
I mean, he's been around so long. He has such a legacy behind him. I think it's time for him to go. I mean, it's time for him to retire. He's done with. He's been around since what? Since the
he still had early it this 2000s? Past season though.
Yeah, I mean
he started playing in Argentina in '95.
Yeah, he showed no signs of slowing down. I mean, it's kind of a shock to me. I thought he was going to play at least one more season.
16 now.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see what happens. Okay, I think Hall of Fame is a good spot for him. To be honest, I like that idea.
What do you think, Dave?
I was actually going to go on a different angle, a different route, and. Do you think he's the best Spur of all time?
No, definitely not.
Definitely not.
Top three?
Maybe.
I'd say top four.
Top four?
Yeah. Who's ahead of
at
him?
The four
who's,
spot.
Who's ahead of him? We got, obviously, the Admiral and then Tim Duncan.
I agree.
I think, what about Tony Parker?
What about Popovich?
And Popovich, yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking players.
Okay.
Yeah, only players here. So
he starts to put in coaches,
yeah,
and
yeah, we can put in the water boy, and whoever. But no,
world's greatest water boy.
I think they had the same H2O. Water boy for 23 years. I don't know, but anyway, what about Kawhi? I mean, he
wasn't there long enough. You're comparing somebody who was there for 16 years to somebody who was there what? Four, five
seasons. No. That's
he made an impact.
He did.
No, he was really, really good. He was really good. But that's like saying LeBron is the greatest
Laker of all time.
He just got there. I was gonna say Heat, but it sounded funny. The greatest Heat of all time.
We'll see if that works.
All right, let's move on.
There for 2 years.
Let's move on from the NBA You guys are losing focus. All right. Major League Baseball. Who wins the AL West? The AL West race is looking good, as opposed to the East, where the Boston's going to take it.
Boston? Are they really? Or is it the Yankees?
No.
Yankees got beat last night.
They're like 7.5 games behind her.
Pounding them for tonight, by the way. It's at 3:30. The smart money is on not taking the Yankees. Take them to keep losing. Continue, sorry.
Yeah, but the Yankees...
Wanted to interject.
The Yankees are always, hit or miss. They're always... That's how they do it. They, during the whole season, they are in and out, in and out, in and out. The whole freaking season. Okay? So... They always come up on top. Now, mind you, I'm not the biggest Yankee fan. I don't dislike them either, but I have to recognize that the Yankees will probably make it to the World Series. We'll see.
I don't think so. I think we're going to see... Well, the Cardinals are the hottest team right now, but I really think we're going to see Stros, Dodgers.
I would love to see the Dodgers. I mean,
Get beat by the Stros in the World Series? That'd be great.
That actually brings us to
Tony the Tiger.
That brings us to Justin Verlander. You hear about that? When he's already a Dodger killer. Apparently, got charged $1 million extra on his bill for breakfast in Los Angeles, Beverly Hills. He went eating there. They put $1 million extra charge because it just said Dodger killer. But what I was wondering is the actual menu, $40 for pancakes. Really? That's what it was. Pancakes, $40. Salad, $42 or something.
It is
like
LA,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
How many pancakes you get?
I don't know. Three?
Yeah, but LA isn't not worth that expensive.
LA is pretty expensive.
Yeah, really.
Everywhere in California.
I was born and raised in California, in Southern California. It's not. I mean, he's just going to a high premium place.
I'm sure.
He can afford it. He probably could have afforded the $1 million. Extra throw.
He probably looked at him and was like, ooh, rough.
Yeah. Here's my card. What do you expect from this guy? You want him to go to Denny's? IHOP?
I like Denny's.
I love Denny's.
A guy like him, he's looking for a more premium type of place.
For pancakes?
Yeah, for everything.
Premium pancakes.
I don't know, how premium can pancakes get?
Well, I guess it's the topping. Different toppings. NFL injuries. Now, we are going to be getting into the NFL season in just 2 weeks, I believe. Now, what's going to happen with these guys who are injured? Which team has hurt most because of some of the injuries that have happened during the preseason? Any ideas on that?
There's been some bad ones. Comments? Go ahead.
I would say Washington is hurt the most.
Their
three running backs.
All three running backs. And this is the same thing that happened to Washington last year. They just got decimated at different positions.
Yeah, and then I'd say the Chargers are next in that line. They're always cursed with injuries, and it's the same thing this year.
They are. I would not say they're next. You got to look at the Eagles. They got Foles and Wentz out. That's terrible.
Yeah,
they'll be back, but who's their quarterback going to be? You got two injured quarterbacks. On top of that, Vikings have placed two of their O-linemen, two starting O-linemen, on injury reserve already. And the Cowboys' O-line is decimated as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Cowboys have a lot of problems there, even with the guys that are playing. I mean, they're going to be in tough this year. How about Doug Baldwin? Is he playing in...
I was about to say, how big of a hit is that to the Seahawks? I mean, that's their wide receiver one, is it not?
It is. I'd like this year to see Tyler Lockett actually step up, though, especially if he's missing some time. Brown, as well, could have a breakout year. The thing about the Seahawks is, if you remember, Doug Baldwin came out of nowhere, right? Becomes a superstar. Within that system, whoever they have is going to put up numbers, especially with Carroll calling the points.
That's true. Okay, Buffalo, A.J. McCarron, he's out, right?
Does that mean
Josh Allen starts?
I hope not, for the sake of Buffalo. He has not looked great so far.
Now, you know who has looked great is Sam Darnold.
Darnold has
looked great. He's going to start for the Jets, I heard.
And we're going to get into that in a second about Teddy.
What about the Patriots while we're still talking about injuries? They put last year's first-round pick, Isaiah Wynn, on injury reserve, torn Achilles. And to back him up, they have Marcus Cannon, who is currently injured and not practicing with the team.
Wow, yeah. So what do you think? What teams hurt?
Are we going to see?
In week one, it looks like probably Washington, right?
Washington. What about Jacksonville losing Marquise Lee?
Yeah, we were going to talk about him. He's actually done for the season, right?
Yeah, and who do they have left at wide receiver? Who's catching the ball? They can't hand it to, as much as the coach wants to say, they can hand it to Fournette every single play.
Agreed.
Yeah. I thought they did have a couple of options.
Who?
From I'm not exactly sure, but I know they had a little bit of depth there, I thought.
Well, he's not the only wide receiver on the team, but other than that, no. I mean, it's not looking good.
And you know, Marquise Lee gone, Jalen Ramsey blaming the new helmet rule on that injury. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I can't think the rule is forcing players to hit a little bit lower. I mean, you might see a lot more lower body injuries this season than you see concussions. I mean, what's worse, a head injury or a leg injury at this point? You know, he's torn Achilles or a knee injury as opposed to a concussion.
Are we talking long term or are we talking short term?
Right, exactly. And are we talking what's worse for the game or what's worse for the actual player? You know, so.
And either way,
it's a loss.
It's the leg injury because he's lost for the season.
Yeah, but I mean that could affect him long term as well, a leg injury.
Definitely.
Not as long as a concussion, obviously, but it's still, you know, it's season injury, season ending, possibly career ending. Scherzer last year.
Oh yeah. Shazier?
Yeah, Shazier.
Brian Shazier.
He got
Scherzer, Brian.
He got paralyzed from the, you know, waist down for a little bit there.
All
right, okay. Well, Cam
Newton. Hopefully he's okay, too.
Cam Newton just about did it this year.
Yeah.
Right? Cam Newton just about did that this year.
Yeah, no. Yeah, did everybody see that video? He bounced off his head.
Yeah.
You know his nickname, Superman, right? So in preseason, he goes flying through the air, bounces off his head, briefly goes into the concussion protocol.
So didn't he show up in an interview with the black eye? Didn't I read about that?
Yeah, he had a black eye. The helmet actually came up and... clocked him right below the eye. He had a little black eye. You can't really tell, but it was there. He said he's going to ice it.
I know it's the way he plays and all, but he needs to not be doing this in preseason. He's competing for nothing. It was kind of an unforced...
Yeah, it looked like he did it on purpose. It was weird.
It's in his nature to play every play like it's his last. But at this point, he should be a seasoned veteran, and he should know better.
Right.
Agreed. All right, out of the preseason, what team has impressed you most? And on the other, flip side of the coin, which one has let you down? Any thoughts on who's been looking good? I personally think New Orleans looked okay.
Can we start with let you down?
Yeah, sure.
That is the Cowboys with their 8 turnovers and decimated offensive line. Yeah. Like, the one thing that's supposed to be good about this team, they don't have wide receivers. They've got one good running back. I think Dak is... marginal behind a good offensive line. The defense isn't great, but they got that offensive line, and man, was it terrible.
Yeah, Jordan, but did you really have good hopes for or high hopes for the Cowboys from the beginning? You know,
I kind of did. I mean, you get Zeke back, no suspension this time.
Dak plays
very safe with the ball. Offense could be good. The defense is sneaky something.
I did not expect the Cowboys to do anything this season. I don't know. That's just my point on them. I am not disappointed by them. I am surprised that they have 8 guys that have been out, but other than that,
no. I'm just surprised that their O-line is so bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Other teams that are bad, Tampa Bay looks horrible, and so does Miami as usual.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
As usual.
But they're trying to fix the culture in there, and you know what that says to me? Tank for the first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
That's why you get rid of all of your talent under the guise of fix the culture, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're saying you want to rebuild from the ground up is what you're saying for the Dolphins?
I'd like to. It's the worst year ever to tank, being as the top 5 picks next year are going to be defensive linemen.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing they're stacked at. They keep drafting defensive linemen. They got to quit doing that. You can only have 2 defensive ends on the field at a time.
Okay, and the team you thought looked good, the best in preseason, how about Baltimore, 4-0 in preseason?
They looked good.
Yeah, they looked good, but
I think RG3 did enough for Baltimore to earn him a starting spot somewhere. I thought the Jets looked good with Darnold. You mentioned it earlier.
Mm.
I mean, he could be legit. I mean, he's a good player.
He better be, because who's behind him now? I mean, what happens if he gets injured? What happens if he has some bad games?
Well, they brought 3 good quarterbacks there, and they did get rid of Teddy Bridgewater. You're right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who everybody's most impressed with again is the Cleveland Browns.
Well, yeah, but everyone's impressed with them preseason. They always go 4.
Until they mess up.
4-0 and 0-16.
Exactly, but everybody's impressed with them. Can you believe they're playing against your Lions on the road, week 1, and they're 2.5-point favorites? If you want to get in on a good pick, this team didn't win a game last year. The entire country is enamored with them. I think I'm going to be pounding bet against Cleveland. Not that I'm rooting against them, but bet against Cleveland every game this season until the lines right themselves.
All right. Now, we talked about this last week where we think they're going to win over 5.5 games too, right? So I guess they might start with a win.
But how are they favored?
Well, must be a reason. I guess Detroit's really bad.
But the battle between the former 0-16 teams, I get it.
Yeah. Battle of the 0-16s, yeah.
Worst of the worst. You know, I'm pretty happy about the Falcons this year offering $5 craft beer at the stadium.
That's awesome.
Is this the best deal around or what?
Well, last year they actually cut concessions by 50%. And what they found was that they actually gained more profit from it.
They made more money.
Yeah, they raised the average fans spending by 16% per game. This year they're going to cut some things another 12%, which, you know, beer is incorporated into that. They'll have $5 12 ounces and $7 20 ounces. So I think you'll see a lot less tailgating, a lot more people waiting to get inside the game.
Brian, that's awesome. That's actually pretty cheap because you go to a stadium, any other stadium, and a small beer is $14. Right. I mean, they go up to like $17, you know. So to get it for $5 or get it for $10, I mean, wow.
I mean, that's like cheap bar prices.
Yeah.
Even some bars are more expensive than that.
Right.
I actually like the idea of like smuggling it in. You see they're selling this sit. It's called a sippin' seat. It's like a cushion, but you fill it with booze. And then you sit on it and put the straw between your legs.
Dave, I could so see you with that thing on.
It's better than the tampon flask. That's another one.
What?
Well, at least you know they're not going to check it. Yeah.
The tampon flask. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea.
Did you you made that up, right? That's not real.
No, it is real. Actually, I saw a picture of it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's real.
What were you looking up?
How to smuggle booze? How to get cheap booze into stadium without paying even $5?
But they don't have to do that in Atlanta because cheap beer.
Cheap beer, $5.
New stadium, Super Bowl is going to be there.
Cheapest beer. There it is. Look at these. See, there's the tampon flask right there.
Booze tube.
Yeah.
Rise up.
Booze tube. All right. Yeah, look at that.
Heavy flow days.
Heavy flow days. That's good marketing, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there you go. How did we end up here?
I don't know.
It's like looking at a YouTube video and then you end up watching like Rick Astley videos or something. Okay, now we're going to talk about a few people in the NFL who got big contracts this past week or so. Aaron Rodgers, or do you want to start with Beckham? I don't know.
Let's start with Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers got $134 million for 4 years, which is $33.5 per year. What do you guys think of that?
Totally worth it.
100%. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league,
is the best quarterback in the league.
The best in the league. The last time he came off of an injury, and back in 2013, he won the MVP.
It
could be a replica, this year.
This is guaranteed. He apparently gets $64 million this year or something like that.
I thought it was 67.
The NFL is going to more all guaranteed contracts. I think it's a push by the player union, really.
For sure. I mean, it has to be.
It has to be.
I mean, this is the highest, right? This is a record, right?
This
is the highest that they've ever given any
quarterback.
But who did he pass? Jimmy G, who just got his contract. And obviously, he's worth way more than an unproven Jimmy G.
Right, of course. But this deal could be worth upwards of $180 million. With the incentives that they put in his contract and whatnot.
What about all the sponsors and all that stuff that comes in? Imagine, what is Nike giving this guy? What is, Gatorade and all these guys, all these advertisers? They're going to make double that.
This is making that Blake Bortles contract look like a steal.
Yeah, right?
What I find weird is people still, and I'm a Packers fan, but people still think Brett Favre is better. He has a better love from the fans, it seems. But Rodgers is a better quarterback. I think
Rodgers is just unlikable.
Yeah,
I agree.
He doesn't model Wrangler jeans. That's the problem. He's got to get out there more. Teddy Bridgewater, or actually, let's go to Beckham because he also signed a big contract, 5 year, $95 million. Is Beckham worth what they're paying him?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think if he cools down a little bit, which he said he has matured. I think, yeah, he does deserve that. But if he gets that, yeah, I think Antonio Brown deserves renegotiation.
I do. I mean, there is a lot of wide receivers who are almost as good as him. Antonio Brown, Hopkins, Mike Evans, you can make an argument for, who aren't on the sideline proposing to the net that the kicker's, talking about, just being a tremendous distraction to their team.
Yeah, I mean, he's known to throw temper tantrums on the sideline, especially last year. I think he did it twice. He just threw a temper
tantrum. Just
twice? It might have been more.
I didn't really pay
attention to the Giants too much last year. I mean, they didn't do too well.
Maybe he was drinking out of that tampon flask.
I think he's worse.
Against the tampon flask. Oh man,
I think he's worth it. What I don't like is, I don't like that they paid him this much, because I think running backs, wide receivers, and defensive linemen, tackles, interior defensive linemen, they get big contracts, and whatever team gives them a big contract generally doesn't do very well because they don't have the money to spend elsewhere.
All right, that's a good point.
What do you think of the Teddy Bridgewater to New Orleans for a, was that a third or a sixth that he went for?
Third. Hudley was a sixth.
You're right. Hudley was a sixth.
Oh, that's right. I'm thinking Green Bay.
I think it's a perfect place for Teddy Bridgewater. He gives them a good QB2 option. You know, you got Drew Brees, you know, almost 40 years old. He's on his way out here in a couple of years. So he'll be a good long-term QB1 option here in a few years. And with time under Drew Brees, I think he really, really develops even more than he already was. I mean, he was a great player before he got injured.
People forget how good he was before he missed all that time.
He's 25 years old.
He's got plenty of time.
I was a little surprised the Vikings gave up on him so fast, but
do you think
I guess they held out for a while.
Maybe the Jets should have waited a bit till somebody got a quarterback injury, and maybe they could have got a little bit more, second round, maybe even a late first round pick for him?
I think they only wanted to take two QBs in, so if he's on the bubble anyway, it's better to get something. And third round isn't bad for your third QB.
That's true.
I mean, that's a great offer.
I think the Sean Payton's a perfect play caller for him as well.
I like this situation for him, but I don't think it's about grooming him to be Drew Brees' replacement. I think they're following Philadelphia's model, and that is you invest money in your backup quarterback. That's how you win championships, just in case. You can't gamble on your starter being healthy and gamble your season on that.
That's a good point.
Sorry?
I was going to say, I think he has a great backfield to support him, too, with Ingram and Kamara being great pass-catching backs. You know, that's what he was before he got injured. He had a lot of those straight passes to his running backs on those routes. So I think both those guys would be tremendous players for him.
I wish we had seen this before preseason, because I would have been interested to see him in preseason how he messed with that team. Now we're probably not going to get to see him very much.
Okay, one final thing on the NFL, then we're going to get to college football, which kicks off right away. Rookies who exceeded your expectations in the preseason in the NFL. Anybody come to mind? I'll start with Javon Wims from Chicago. That guy looked good, and they got him in the 7th round. I guess that's probably why I like him. They get him way down, and he is looking good. Anybody else who might have tickled your fancy?
I think Ronald Jones has the potential of being quite good. We'll see what happens. I know he's moving up draft boards pretty fast. Same with Royce Freeman as well. As far as rookies go, they could have pretty good seasons.
Michael Gallup, we were talking about Dallas.
Yeah.
He looks like he might be the whole package once he puts things together.
Him stepping up is really one of the reasons why they were okay just letting Dez walk and didn't want him back after the fact. He's going to be good.
Yeah, he looks like, he has everything. He's got the size, the speed, good hands.
Big and fast.
Anything else on that, or were you ready to fly to college? Okay, let's go. Let's start with the Pac-12, shortening non-conference games, less commercials, and shorter halftimes. Now, what do you think about that? Pac-12 is not a likable conference lately. So.
I think it's great.
Yeah. It's a pilot program, right? So they're just testing it out. It's just going to be a few games. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of this is to keep the fan base interested, right? I mean, that's the whole point of doing this. Because if we were talking about this earlier, I mean, like right now, what happens if they don't cut the commercials, the screen goes into a little tiny box, right? And then you see the commercial, so you can kind of still see what's going on with the game while you watch your commercials and stuff like that.
It's like
and then
watching the screen. Champions League soccer.
Exactly. Exactly. So this, I guess, this is the alternative to what, you know, they're talking about.
Are they having trouble selling ad time for these Pac-12 football games?
I don't think it is that. I think they're having trouble people staying tuned, especially in the Pac-12. I mean, if I'm watching a Pac-12 game and a commercial pops up, I'm switching to the channel to the next game that's on. I'm just going to go find a game that's actually on. I'm sick of all the time stoppage in these games. It's like it prolongs the game way too long. I mean, the final 2 minutes of a game ends up being like 20 minutes long. I mean, I think they're trying to really restructure the game so that these things don't keep happening. We'll see how it works out. I would like to see. I know the NBA is thinking about doing something like that, and so is the NFL. The NFL is actually inquiring about doing the same thing. I would really like to see them take action and do this because the games are just getting way too long, and it's just becoming a little bit boring.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, maybe this will spread.
I mean, especially with the new rules they're coming out with the added penalties. That's even more time stoppage on the clock. I mean, like I said, they really need to do something to break that down.
They do need to do something about this helmet rule.
I agree with what Brian is saying. As a fan, I tend to switch around from channel to channel to see, because I mean, a game kind of bores me when they stop like that. They're doing their thing. It's just like, it's boring. I want to see what's going on in the other games. This maybe can work out in favor of a fan like me, where I can stay more tuned to the game. I don't know. I like it. That's a good deal.
How about the red shirt rule? Is it going to change the way things operate in the league? I mean, is it going to be different for the players? Who's going to benefit most from this?
I think it's a great thing for the players and coaches, and we're just showing that the game is evolving. People are coming out of high school a lot more pro-ready than they used to be. They don't need 5 years.
For sure. I mean, I think it's going to add a different element to the game. It adds a different type of strategy for the coaches. And from what I've read, the coaches are really, really excited about it and think that it's going to be an exciting time for football. They think it's one of the best things that the NCAA has done. The NCAA isn't known for creating rules that benefits the players and the coaches.
Ever.
So this is the first time they've done it, and people are really, really happy about it. So we'll see where it goes. We'll see how the coaches adapt to the new strategies, and hopefully we can see some good.
Do you think? Do you save your players? Do you play them like preseason games against the A&M versus Northwestern?
Oh, definitely at conference.
But when you're gonna destroy them, or do you use them for depth in the A&M versus Alabama, when you really need your players?
You know what? I think we'll see strategies across the board. I think different coaches will do different things. Jim Harbaugh came out and said it's not going to change his strategy at all. He's going to play as freshman. It's just the way he's always worked. But you got other coaches, you know, I forgot specific ones, but I was reading that are just like, yes, you know, I'm going to create a strategy. We're going to play him in these non-conference games, and we're going to go from there because these guys need to see time. They need to see, get a little bit of seasoned in them. So we'll see what happens. I like it.
All right. Yeah, it seems like a big plus all the way around. Let's get into some picks for the weekend. Before that, though, real quick, I can tell you, I watched that Hawaii-Colorado State game, and that was a good game. They were the dog at plus 16, Hawaii, and they ended up winning 43-34. Lots of back-and-forth action.
I saw that. It was an exciting game to watch. Great first game to start. I mean, no one really had too much hope for that game. Everyone's like, eh. You know, that's not, and then, you know, you tune in, and it was actually a really, really exciting game.
Yeah, very good game. Now, we got some big games coming up over the next 3-4 days or so. You guys got picks for the ones that you want to watch, that you think most people will watch?
Well, the ones I want to watch are a little bit different from my picks. You know, I'm going to watch the Michigan-Notre Dame game. I'm going to watch the LSU and
Michigan's
Miami.
Going down.
And I'm going to watch the Washington-Auburn game. But as for my picks, I really like the Oregon State spread for that. They're underdogs at 38.5, 38.5. I really like that line. I'm going to take Oregon State against Ohio State on that. I don't think Ohio State's going to beat them by 38.5. I also like the Louisville-Alabama under at 62.5. That appeals to me. And I'm going to have to go with Notre Dame just because I hate Michigan. That's a hard play. Yeah, it's just something I got to do.
They haven't played since 2014, those two teams.
Yeah, it's a rivalry rekindled.
Yeah, so that should be a very good game to watch as well as wager on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. A lot of these football teams like to play cushy, almost a preseason game for their first one.
Yeah.
And as a bettor, I love this. Okay, this is the time where you grind through your rollovers, and what you want to do is you want to take heavy favorites, not too heavy, but pretty heavy favorites across the board on the money line in round robin, as many of them together as you can.
Right.
Okay?
Huge parlay.
And just like I told you how I like to bet preseason, this is how I bet the first week of football. And I plan on betting on lots and lots of games, and we'll see what happens.
You were actually going to mention that guy who won the parlay, were you not? Or were we going to talk about that
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
In the week?
You wager a $21 Bitcoin deposit, almost $22.
$21.96, I thought it was.
$21.96 won him, what, 12 grand?
Just under 12. It was 11.9 something. But it was a parlay. He hit
12-15 teamer?
Yeah, 12-15 team parlay. Just won him huge amounts of money there. So.
That's a good start to the season for somebody.
Yeah, I mean,
about that.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good sense of some lines there for sure from you wager. So
definitely.
I'll ask you real quick about the Washington-Auburn game because that seems to be something that's getting a lot of looks. They're going to be playing in Atlanta.
That's
I like the neutral field thing between a lot of these rivalry games.
But is it neutral? It's pretty much a home game for Auburn.
Fair enough.
You know, I mean, it's close. I mean, it's going to be a real test for both teams. You're going to tell who's going to, you know, earn their spot in the top 25 and who's kind of a little bit overrated, like we were speaking about last week.
So who do you have here?
I personally like Auburn.
Do you?
I have always thought that Washington's overrated. Last year they're overrated. This year they're overrated. But you know what? They could prove me wrong.
Auburn. See, I agree, too. I just think Auburn is the least overrated of the two teams.
For sure.
But I think they're both too
high. They're both overrated. I feel like, I don't know. I don't go with either one, but if I had to, like you guys are saying, I guess I'll go with Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn is -2.5.
They did beat Alabama last year, right, Auburn? So they got skill. You know, they're coaching. They have good coaches, too. So
they're a good program. They're solid.
Uh-huh.
And they seem to put it together every single year.
And you do have the week one rivalry, Colorado versus Colorado State.
I don't know why rivalries play their game. It should be the last game of the season.
The Michigan-Ohio State, last game of the season.
Yeah, that's the way, starting out with a rivalry game seems like a weird one. But that's it. Anyone else want to hit on anything else? Or have we covered the whole spectrum of the sports world? I think we have.
Pretty good.
All right.
I liked it.
Okay, very good. So next week we are going to have a lot more NFL for you because it's going to be that much closer. We're going to have more MLB stuff and, of course, college football. We'll go over some of the games that happened. So that's all coming up next week. Make sure you do join us once again for OOBG Podcast.
You've been listening to OOBG Radio, the leading destination for the best sports and betting analysis podcast. Check in each week for more on sports news and forecasting. Don't forget to check us out on your favorite social media website and on OOBG.com.